Good morning and welcome to the Susquehanna Council meeting of June 8th, 2021. First things, approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Can I move to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have the motion carried. We have the minutes of May 25th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Deletions, anything? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Bring the correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Okay. Now's the time for public comment. The public has 3 minutes to address council on anything that we have interest in, control of, whatever. And lights up here, when you start the green, you got one left that goes to amber. When it turns red, your time is up. Anybody care to speak? Come on down, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Joan Tracy. I am vice president of the Covey Creek HOA in Lewis. And I spoke last meeting, and I'm speaking again about the same issue. But before I begin, I'd like to commend Mark Schaefer for being our councilman and being so available, responsive, and dedicated in his efforts to us. I have been told, and my organization has been told, that it's a long-time policy of Sussex County to try and keep families in their homes with regard to non-payment of property taxes. This is not the policy of Kent or Newcastle County. The county can and should work with people for a short period of time, not years, who have been vetted and shown to be acting in good faith, trying to get on their feet to help themselves. The county is doing a good job and doing what I would imagine is their best, but it can always be improved and it can always be better. I think we can all agree on that. I know that it has been said to me that 99% of the taxes are paid all the time. However, it's also been my personal experience that with statistics you can prove anything, probably still including that the world is flat. However, I have been told and am aware of circumstances where there is no legitimate reason for taxes and utility bills going unpaid for years, several years, and certainly long before the horrors of COVID-19. In that particular case of years of delinquency, why not aggressively collect the taxes and bills that are past due, especially in cases where, and there are many, even without mortgages, where the property in question, if sold by the county, would generate many hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue, far and above what's even owed to the county. So the law, not a policy, is already on the books that gives the county the right to do so and to be done expeditiously, as is done in the other two counties in this state. By operating under a policy that doesn't serve the greater good, the county is being deprived of resources that it is legally owed and obviously needs due to the court-ordered reassessment that has been shown that the county does need, in fact, some more revenue. On May 17th...
If you could finish up, please.
Yes. On May 17th, we sent a letter to each and every one of you on the council with our feelings from the Covey Creek Owners Association with regard to this issue. And I have a copy here, should you like to introduce it into whatever minutes you have. So I thank you for your time and your efforts.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else in the audience want to speak? Okay, operator, would you check online, please?
If anyone has joined the conference line and would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. Matthias Barr. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple items to get to this morning on the agenda, starting with the appointment to the Planning and Zoning Commission. We do have one reappointment consideration for District 5, and it is my understanding that Mr. Riley would like to reappoint the current placeholder, Mrs. Holly Wingate.
Yeah, I've spoken to Mrs. Wingate, and she is willing to serve another term. So I'd like to enter her name.
I have a motion for your consideration.
Would you motion?
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Ms. Holly Wingate to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Committee, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June 2024.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Thank you. Second appointment, which is actually a reappointment as well, is Ms. Green's District 2 appointment to the Board of Adjustment. It's my understanding that Ms. Green would like to reappoint Mr. Jordan Wolfel. I will note we just appointed Mr. Wolfel last month for his ability to fill out the term of that office that was held by Mr. Workman, who retired. So this is a reappointment for 3 years.
Yes.
Ms. Green, would like to make that reappointment. I have a motion for your consideration.
Motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Mr. Jordan Wolfel to the Sussex County Board of Adjustment, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June 2024.
I make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Green.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Huston.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Next thing, Mr. Lawson, on here is the information related to county collection process. A couple weeks ago, we had some people who spoke to us, some here now, and I asked you to put it on the agenda. This is not a discussion, this is information, so we can hear from the people that do that work, the process. Something goes back to 2010. I was here then, nobody else was, I guess, so it'll be new to some people, maybe, I don't know. But so everybody can hear, the public can hear it, all the council can hear it, all the effort and work that goes into what is done to collect back taxes. So it's information only, and we'll go from there. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. We do have a PowerPoint presentation for you today. I'm joined by Ms. Jennings, Finance Director and COO, and Katrina Mears in the audience. I'll invite her up in a minute to provide information to Council related to this topic. I'll begin with a slide related to Sussex County property taxes. As most folks know, the county is the collection agency for property taxes. That's the same in all three counties in Delaware. In Sussex County, we issue over 183,000 property taxes annually. Those tax bills include two portions within the one bill. One portion is the state portion, and the other portion is the county portion. In total, per year, the county collects over $160 million in taxes. It's important to note in Sussex County, the breakdown between the state and the county portion of the tax is 90% state or school taxes and 10% county taxes. What happens is the county acts as the collecting agency, and when that money is received by the county, we then turn the money directly over to the state or to the school districts and Sussex Tech in Sussex County. So any efforts that you may hear today related to staffing, legal fees, sheriff sales, and those types of expenses are handled by the county and paid for by county taxpayer dollars. Back in 2009-2010, Mr. President, you just referenced an issue that was made apparent to council at that time that you wanted to take a look at related to collections. And there were some conversations and efforts put forth related to that and some changes that were made. Our finance director, who oversees these efforts, is going to go into more detail of what took place back in 2009. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Just as he said, I wanted to go over, we talked about 2009, and then there was a presentation to council. There were some things that were added. So I just want to go over what we've done, what we have in place, how we've changed since back then. So 2009, there was no collection staff. The billing, there was a Treasury Department and there was a Utility Billing Department at that time. They were responsible for any collections on top of billing and collections. They did both. You can see everything that they've done. In 2010, that went to council, the policy was, let's get a little more aggressive. So we added the top 100 delinquent taxes were added to that, the list of things that we did. There was an amnesty program that was introduced at that time. We got a little bit more defined in our payment plan. So back in 2009, it was like, if you could pay $10, that's great. Well, now we want to make sure you can get to the payment and get done. So we have a defined plan now. Within 36 months, you have to pay. So you can see now going into 2021 where we are. And at the very top, you can see in 2010 when all this started, we had 10,700 delinquent accounts. Now we have 6,623. So that dollar amount has not changed much, but the number of accounts. So we bill $165 million every year. So that number keeps adding with interest. But the number of accounts have gone down 38% since we've hired a collections manager and also created a collections staff. So when I took over in 2013, there was Katrina Mayers. She was the manager, the director. She only had, she's one staff of collections. I went in, revamped billing and treasury. Now it's completely, billing's one thing, collections another. That freed up three additional staff just to focus on collections. So no additional cost to the county, but it was just becoming more efficient. So now we have four staff that are working on collections. You can see we've added some things. Instead of just doing warning letters, we do postcards. So they'll get a little notice that's a little yellow card and just says, call this number. Doesn't say anything about the county. That's been successful. We now don't just send the constable, sheriffs are doing postings. That's saving us money, also adding collections. Our payment plans have doubled since 2010. We're doing munition sales. You can see, 2009, I have no records on what went to munition sales. But you can see in 2010, we only had $127,000. We're now almost $2 million going through the sheriff's sale process right now. Council enacted the Clean Hands Ordinance. We now post the top 1,000 delinquent. We've entered into the tax intercept program with the state of Delaware so that if somebody has a rebate coming from their taxes, we're able to intercept that rebate. So that's collected just this fiscal year alone, $11,000. The other two counties are not able to participate in that, because they do not collect Social Security numbers like we do when we get the payment plans. We do wage attachments. Again, that happens if you default on a payment plan. And we also are now sending reports to mortgage services so that the mortgages can keep paying and they can see what's been delinquent. So we have been very successful in our collections process. We continue to look at ways that we can better our process, but you can see that the numbers speak for themselves, that we are bringing those numbers down. So what I'm going to ask is Ms. Mears, if she can come up, she's going to go into more of the details of what we're doing today and those numbers of how we're saying we're 99% collected. Ms. Mears.
Good morning.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about what our processes are and also share with you some numbers about our collections and our collection rates so that you can see exactly where we are as of actually last week, and some of the information is even more current as of today. Our numbers are changing on a daily basis. I was notified yesterday that we collected a $35,000 bill from someone. It was actually a builder that got caught up in the Clean Hand Ordinance. They had some past due sewer bills for one of their developments and wanted to get permits, so we stopped them and said, hey, we'll issue the permits, you got to pay your bill first. So those are some practices that are actually working for us. So as Gina mentioned, that we do offer payment plans. They are a little bit more defined, where customers have to meet a minimum payment requirement and have to be able to pay the full balance in a matter of 3 years. So we won't extend a payment plan longer than 36 months. Right now we have about $2.4 million of past due property taxes in past due payment or in payment plans. We also, in addition, Gina mentioned we're sending out delinquent notices. That's just a matter of practice. They do go out three times a year. We do have three times a year after we bill. So we bill in August and then they get three delinquent notices. We do have staff that make phone calls. We are trying to track folks down. Getting phone numbers can sometimes be difficult, but we do try to make phone calls. We have an inbound line Some of our calls come in when folks do receive their late notices. We dropped about 20% in delinquent numbers after our first late notice mailing. Once we get to this time of year, it's the same folks that we're sending to, and those numbers don't tend to go down as much. We do do site visits where we will send the constable out just to kind of check the status of the property. Is anyone living there? Is it a house that's vacant? Is it something that's been torn down or partially burned and no one is actually living there? And that's some information that's helpful to us in this process. We are also offering or participating in the tax intercept program. So far for fiscal year 21, we have collected about $11,000 from that program. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that there is a payment order with the tax intercept program. And because of where we joined, we're not the most, we're not at the top. We are a little bit towards the bottom. So we do have some success with it, but not as much as like a hospital or University of Delaware or something like that would reap from that program. One of the things that we're seeing a lot of success with right now is we've partnered with our sheriff's department to go out and physically post a notice at the property. So we can't reach anybody. They're not responding to our calls. We've hand-delivered letters. We've knocked on neighbors' doors. The sheriff is now going out for us and posting that final demand letter actually at the residence. So if someone is living there, they're seeing it, they're saying, oh my gosh, I may need to do something about this. And so far they've posted 122 parcels for us, with 51 of them actually paying in full before we had to take any other action. So that's been really great for us, and we're going to continue to use that as we move forward as a tool. The one thing to keep in mind about the munitions process is there is a cost involved with that, so this is really helping us lower our cost. So far we estimate it saved us right around $39,000, because every time we send something for sheriff sale, there are fees and posting fees and sheriff fees and attorney fees involved with that. So that's been very beneficial so far. And then lastly, we do send properties to sheriff sale. Right now we have about $1.9 million in the process, and it is a process from the time that we send the final demand all the way through until it hits that sheriff sale posting list on our website. So I want to talk a little bit about our numbers, and we have just some information on our five-year property tax collection rate. So as you can see, for 2020, we billed about $162 or $163 million, and we've collected 98% of that, with 2.7 outstanding for 2020. So on average, our five-year collection rate is about 99%. So we do have great success in getting those funds in there. Also, for our utility services, I've gone back to 2017. We converted to a new system in 17, so that's why the information is only 4 years instead of five. And we were averaging right about 98% collection for the years that we bill as well. So just a breakdown of our current delinquency now. So if you take a look, you can see that right now our property tax delinquency is at 8.8, with $5 million in additional interest. So that brings us to 13.8, which is our current outstanding residential tax delinquency. Right now, our oldest year is from 1984, and that is a mobile home. And we'll talk a little bit about mobiles a little later. They do provide or present some challenges that are unique to this county that our other two counties don't seem to have. Our utility services outstanding, our base amount is $2.3 million. With about $559 in interest, which brings us to the $2.9 million. And right now, our oldest utility bill is a 1994 residential. So our overall between tax and sewer, we're at $16.7 million in back taxes and sewer. So a little bit about the breakdown. So right now, $7.6 million is school tax only, with $1.1 million at our county services, county fees. So our total for that, again, is the 13.8, and you can see the breakdown of the interest for school and for county as well. So I want to talk a little bit about our top delinquency, and this is where we'll start to talk a little bit about mobile. So right now, our residential, where folks are actually living, is at $5.9 million, with about 1.1 of those parcels currently at some point in the sheriff sale process, whether the demand letter all the way up to it's actually posted on our website. Mobiles and parks and mobiles on leased land are a pretty large number. It's about $5.6 million. You can see that we do not have any of those pending munitions, because there is a different process for actually handling a delinquent mobile. We have $380,000 in commercial properties with about $84,000 of that in the process as it stands. The numbers you see there represent all charges, county school, and Sussex Tech. A little bit about residential delinquency. Residential properties make up about 2,500 delinquent parcels in Sussex County, with 93% of those being owner-occupied, or $5.6 million. 56% of those folks are in payment plans, and about 7% are in bankruptcy, and while someone is in a bankruptcy, we cannot make any collection efforts. So for mobile homes, you can see that mobile homes are about 2,300, 2,256 are delinquent. 90% of those are owner-occupied, and that's about 5.1 million of the 5.6 million in delinquent taxes that's due. The issue, some of the challenges that we have with mobiles are that they are titled like cars, so sometimes by the time we get to somebody, it might be the third or fourth owner, but still be titled in the original owner's name, and that does present a challenge. Sometimes the homes are just removed and we don't know about it, especially if they're on leased or private land. Most of the time in parks, we've worked really hard to establish great relationships with our parks, and we will work with them. The process for selling a mobile, as I mentioned earlier, is different than just a munition sale. So we tend to work with the park to say, if you guys will take this and sell it or get a judgment against it, and what happens is they either file a notice of abandonment where the home has been left in their park, or they go through a garage keeper's lien if the person owes them a lot of money. If you guys will work through that process, we'll help you out on the back end in terms of waiving some of the penalty or adjusting some of the tax. And back in 2010, we made an agreement with the school district that for these types of homes, they would allow us to write off some of the tax. As you can see in the picture, this is just an example of one of the homes in that situation. It's really not able to be lived in. The park is going to completely gut it, rehab it, sell it, and get somebody in there that will pay taxes. One of the things that we've worked with the parks on is that a lot of the parks are now saying, if you have a delinquent sewer or a delinquent property tax bill with Sussex County, you must be in a payment plan in order for us to renew your annual lease, which is huge for us. And we really appreciate their working with us on this. And that's it. That's where we are. Those are our biggest challenges, our residential as well as our mobiles.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Excellent.
So that's all the information we have, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Katrina. Thanks, Gina. Thanks, Todd, for putting all this in front of everybody so the public can see the process, how it works, what goes on, the actual numbers. I think that the four people we have are doing an excellent job at trying to collect these things. They work very hard at it. They had some good successes. Do I wish everybody in the world paid their taxes? Sure I do. I wish y'all paid their income tax too, but they don't do that either. So I think our employees are doing a very good job at trying to get this closed down. You see them from 10,000 to 6,000. That's working down all the time. So these are all good things, I think. So thank you, Mr. Lawson, and thanks, Gina, and thank Katrina for sure. Your report, sir. Next.
Thank you. Next item is the County Administrator's report for June 8, 2021. Item 1, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. The Estuary Phase 3A construction record and Governor's Phase 4B effective May 27th and June 3rd, respectively. Item 2, it's with sadness that we note the passing of former county employee Dana Lathbury on Thursday, May 20th. Dana began her career with Sussex County Government in June 1996 with a total of 24 years of service. Her last position was a Clerk 3 technician in the Assessment Department. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Lathbury family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Keeler, let's talk about the reassessment RFP discussion and possible contract award. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. Today I would like to present a motion for your approval to enter into a contract with Tyler Technologies for the real property reassessment project for Sussex County. Earlier this year, requests for proposals were issued. Two proposals were received and reviewed. First one was from Pearson's Appraisal Service with a project completion date of January 2025 and a base amount of $13,973,000. A second bid was by Tyler Technologies with a project completion date of February 2024 and a base amount of $9,070,818. A committee made up of assessment, finance, legal, information technology, and professional consulting services of the IAAO have reviewed the proposals, participated in interviews, ranked the proposals, and would like to recommend Tyler Technologies as the vendor of choice for the project. The cost of their contract, including project management, public relations, data collection, valuation analysis and production, value review, assessment disclosure notices, and informal review meetings, will cost $9,070,818 with a $44 per parcel overage rate. After evaluation of the proposals, ranking of vendors, review of interview answers, and checking of references, the committee would like to recommend Tyler Technologies based on the following. They scored the highest of the two vendors in experience, quality of work, capacity to perform, methodology for execution, and price. They were able to provide a bid on all needs requested by the county. They are a stable company with more than 15,000 local government clients throughout all 50 states. Tyler's appraisal and tax division was established in 1938 in Dayton, Ohio, and remains the country's only national mass appraisal company. Tyler has completed more projects in more states than any other vendor in the industry. And lastly, we already purchased and used Tyler's IAS World assessment software that will be utilized to perform the reassessment project. The project is scheduled to begin July 1st, 2021, with an expected completion date of February 15th, 2024. If approved, representatives from Tyler are scheduled to come before council next week to give a presentation and to answer any additional questions you may have concerning the project. Any questions from you guys?
You have a motion?
I do.
Then we'll deal with questions.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council enter into a contract with Tyler Technologies for the real property reassessment project in the base amount of $9,070,818 with a $44 per parcel overage rate.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Before we have questions, I just want to say one thing. People make some comments sometimes about the county doing this to get more tax money, to get more whatever. This initiative was not instituted by Sussex County Council in any way, shape, or form. This is a lawsuit brought against the county, all three counties, with people trying to get more money for their school districts. So it's nothing to do with the county government trying to go in here and raise your taxes for some reason. Just a point. Questions? Mr. Riley?
Can you talk a little bit about the $44 per parcel overage rate? Explain that.
Yes. We're currently sit around 182,000 parcels, and their standard contract, they allow for some growth. So they're allowing up to, I believe it's approximately 2,700 parcels.
Yeah, it's up to 185,402.
Yes.
So.
Okay, so this is based on parcels in inventory today.
Yes.
And they'll charge us $44 for each additional parcel that
over that 185,000
between now and 24.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That was my question exactly.
Any more questions? Any questions? Okay, we're going to take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much for all the work you and Gene and everybody have done on this. I know it's a long process, going to court hearings and going to a number of things, but it is where it is, so we have to deal with it. So, but thank you for all your work. We appreciate it.
Good work.
Okay, moving on the agenda. Mr. Medlars has a couple of small things, I'm sure.
Mr. President, good morning, council members. Compared to next week's agenda, it is small, yes.
Yeah,
it's a lot of stuff next week.
Great.
So let me start. The first one is really, I think, very dear to all of our hearts. The comfort burden, I gave you the comfort burden tract on Route 5. First of all, I gave you the background, how the county acquired this parcel. I gave you the background of why there's some state oversight in this. And we have the funding to purchase the property at 0% interest and how it's tied to the original Rehoboth project for the outfall. It's very complex, but if you read through the first page, it sort of gives you the background. Then you also see there that we have a conservation agreement with the state, which in itself references a forest stewardship plan, which you approved, which sort of set this up, why we had the undying desire to write that new specification and advertise the project. It's a very interesting project because it has numerous components. It has a harvesting component, which we get paid for. It has a replanting component of mature groves, where we pay out. It has a commercial thinning component, where we cut the pine seedlings down. And it has a commercial planting component, where we plant hardwood seedlings based on acreage pricing. So, and these are all moving parts, but the overriding RFP had to do with, we have to have a licensed forester overseeing this project. I mean, I was able, with the help of the state forester, Mr. Topper, write that package, and you know, I think we did a pretty good job. We reached out, advertised it, reached out to our other forest partners, reached out to the people that we have working at the business park for clearing and thinning, and in the end, I still could only get one company to bid on it, and there's numerous components. Some people just like to, they're in the clear-cut business, and that's what they do. They don't want to get involved in these restoration projects. I talked to a couple of restoration project companies, national ones. They just don't want to be in the timber business. Tried to put the two together. They really did. It didn't work too well. In the end, I tried to get the Gladfelder guys to talk to the restoration guys, and in the end, we had one company willing to put it all together. So normally, I wouldn't come to you with a reward request for $400,000 if I did not feel we truly, you know, explored all options to make this happen. And we are under obligation to get it rolling, so it's not that we have an open-ended timeline here. So I do have a recommendation for the council, but I wanted to give you all the background.
Sure, thank you.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the bid for the Comfort Burton Tract Forest Maintenance RFP be awarded to Eagle Forest, Forest Harvesting Incorporated for a four-year forest maintenance contract totaling in the amount of $388,370.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aye, we have motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just for the council, maybe I should have mentioned that we do have a budgeted line item for this 4 years. And the first year is pretty much we're going to get more money than we pay out. But I want to make sure Ms. Jennings and I discussed that. So the next one up is the bulk delivery of magnesium hydroxide. You know, the treatment plants need alkalinity for the treatment process we've been using for many years, caustic soda. And the team, the environmental services team, experimented and felt that magnesium hydroxide would be a more appropriate chemical to use. They're roughly priced, so there's not a big price difference between the two in terms of cost. There's a slight benefit in volume using magnesium hydroxide. So the team asked for that engineering department prepared the RFP and the bid, which we did. We did get two prices back. We have a bulk number, and we only will ask for the bulk award, not the individual totes. So I have a recommendation, and that's, as I said, that's based on the environmental services request.
Isn't that basically Maalox?
I call it the Maalox for sewers.
I have a motion, sir.
BB moves based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that bid item one for Sussex County project M20-21 bulk delivery of magnesium hydroxide be awarded to Premier Magnesium at the bid amount of $2.74 per gallon.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh.
Yes.
I'll be yes, motion carried.
Okay, next one up is, that's sort of always been the engineering department's part here to procure the seed and chemicals for the, in support of the environmental services farming operations. This is the last year of the second bid round. I have to get that straight. The first bid round was for Wolf Neck only. The second one for the first year was Wolf Neck only. The second year of the second bid, we had a change order and change ordered in the Inland Base purchase. And this is the last year where the contract Romark is honoring last year's pricing for both farms. So next year will be re-advertised with the new base. So this one is the last opportunity we have. And they did honor the pricing from last year, which is good, because otherwise we would have to re-advertise it anyway. Sure. So I have a recommended motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that contract M19-31, delivery of seed and chemical funding, be reauthorized to Growmark FSLLC for FY22 in the amount of $188,979.30.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Question on the motion. We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
I have made my position clear. I don't support the county farming, and my vote is now.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will get motion carried. Next.
Last one up is the Delaware Coastal Business Park. There's good news and bad news in that memo. The good news is we are 99% there with the contract documents. I expect advertisement in the next 6 weeks for the two projects, which we'll advertise together. The Baltimore Avenue Connector, we call it. That's the one between the railroad tracks and Nanticoke Avenue. And the Business Park Phase 2 expansion, that is the piece which goes from Atlantis towards the railroad tracks with the full cul-de-sac and the development. So these are both projects. One is strictly a road reconstruction project. That's the Baltimore Avenue Connector. The other one is a full development project with all utilities included. The only thing I have to come back for is the extension for the gas contract. But in the Baltimore Avenue Connector, even so, we're not installing new utilities. The widening, the curbing, some of the crossings over the culverts, especially since we are now giving the road relief. If you go out there today, it has no relief. So we're creating a longitudinal profile, and that created a number of utility conflicts we had to investigate. We brought our investigation team, the geotech guys, out. We fed that information back to the engineers. They had to go through the iterations of the changes. So we are in round three. We believe everything is covered, ready for bid. But the engineers requested that their additional design time, up to $45,000, be compensated, which there's some merit to that. And that is a not-to-exceed number. We believe once we reach the bid and we have their assistance through the bid date, it will be less than that. So that's, I have a recommendation.
Please read your motion.
To get this, and this is the the amendment number 3. We had two previous design changes when we changed the, when we made, and that's in the memo. BB moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that scope amendment number 3 with Becker Morgan Group Incorporated be approved in the amount not to exceed $45,000 for the Delaware Coastal Business Park Phase 2 design services.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Raleigh. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh.
Yes.
I will yield, Mr. Carey.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Sir. Look forward to seeing you next week. Councilmember comments. Councilmember comments. Entertaining motion to go into executive session for pending litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Raleigh.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh.
Yes.
I will, yes. We're now in executive session for pending litigation.